We have a big choice. And God has given us that choice, and what you do with that choice will determine if you're going to flow with God or if you're going to do your own thing. That choice is, do we really want to host the Holy Spirit? By talking about hosting the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about the fact that He's not with you. I'm talking about the fact that when we're not allowing Him to minister through us and to us, we don't get His manifestations.
That's right.
And so a lot of people say, well, I'm Spirit-filled. But what happened since then? And God has made promises to His people. And some people don't want to look at it that way, but His promises are conditional on you flowing with Him, not Him flowing with you.
That's right, amen.
And so we come to a place, and I spent all week in Isaiah, and I'm going to take a twist with some of this stuff that you say, are you sure that means that? Well, I will show you through scriptures where it does mean it. Isaiah 40, 1 through 3 says, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill will be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all, say all with me,
all
the flesh shall see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I understand something. And I went to John and realized when they asked John the Baptist who he was, that he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. But I think it's deeper than one man and all the flesh in the world are going to see the glory of God, because all the flesh in the world didn't see Jesus. And there's a prophecy directly about John the Baptist, but I believe there's a prophecy directly to us if we are the last generation, or if we're this, or if we're that. And I don't want to get tied up with eschatology, but there's a promise that all the flesh will see the glory of God. Now, here's where God wants us to be. God wants us to be where we never, say never with me.
Never.
Can't hear you.
Never.
I still can't hear you.
Never.
God never wants us to say no to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we don't come out and say no, but we just live a lifestyle that is not conducive to the Holy Spirit doing what He wants to do within us. A lot of people are concerned about doing works, okay? Now here's the deal. You allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life the way He wants to, you never have to worry about doing works. Because the Holy Spirit is always ministering. The Holy Spirit is always working. The Holy Spirit is not taking naps. He's out searching for people who are going to respond to His wooing and are going to respond the way that He wants to lead them.
Yes.
There are times, now I'm not going to preach negatively, but there are times that our own conditions hinder us from allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest God through us. We get so tied up with secondary things, and we live that life, and we never think about the fact, at times with our anger, at times with our disgust, at times with our lukewarmness, at times things are going on that we're limiting God from doing in us and to other people what he wants to do. Now you may say, what does the Holy Spirit want to do? He does whatever he wants. And if we're walking in the Holy Spirit, it's not going to matter what he wants to do. And when we're hosting the Holy Spirit, he does in us whatever. And the decision we have to make, do we want to tabernacle this church where we are right now? Do we want to come in and have good worship, every once in a while a good message, and go home? Or are we desiring to step into a place where we are literally preparing people for the return of Jesus Christ?
Yes. Amen.
Because we miss it. We get satisfied with too little. We come to a place where we just, well, how many of you pressed in this week? How many of you took time to pray? How many of you took time to say, Holy Spirit, I'm yours. Do whatever you want in me. Lead me, guide me, direct me. Let me lay hands on people. Let me see people saved. Or are we busy doing our own thing, living our own life? And we know that God understands that because we've always felt he has. And God understands everything a lot more than we think he does. But he's also looking at us to step in. Walk. Live. Exist. All flesh, the Bible says here, will see his glory. And how's that going to happen? It's going to happen through his people. It's going to happen as we are touched with God and we are coming to a place where we are allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest everything he wants to do on planet Earth, and a group of people together are allowing Jesus Christ to be glorified by the manifestations of the Holy Spirit that we're going through. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 with me. And we've read this many times, but it just fits in today. Verse 18 says, but we all with unveiled faces, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Okay? You see that? We are all seeing the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image. What image? We're being transformed into the image of the glory of the Lord. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. There's a change in the body of Jesus Christ, which is us, that daily there's a transformation happening from glory to glory. But do we stop at the first glory? Do we get satisfied with the first glory? Oh, I got saved and I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I even spoke in tongues. Boy, I've arrived. No, you haven't. Can I tell you something, not to hurt your feelings? You're not going to arrive until you stand in heaven. You're not going to arrive at the place where God wants us to be until we see him face to face and everything changes. So, what should this glory, what should this manifestation, what should this Holy Spirit be doing in our lives? I wrote down about 20 of them. You ever thought that? Here's what God wants to do in your life. Salvation, healing, deliverance, conviction, love, joy, peace, freedom, divine energy, strength, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts, the healing of relationships, grace and mercy and compassion. Are we there? Or do I need to go over them again? And there's more than that. Salvation, healing, deliverance. He's working in people's lives through conviction. We want the Holy Spirit so strong in here, some unbeliever comes through that door, they know they need Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Jesus said when the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict. He makes people aware of their need of God. He doesn't condemn, he convicts. Love, joy, peace, freedom, divine energy. Anybody need any divine energy? Anybody need any strength? Fruit, gifts, healing of relationships. How's your home life doing? Holy Spirit wants to heal whatever's going on. He doesn't want you to shut the door and walk out. He wants to heal.
Amen.
Grace and mercy, compassion. He wants that to happen now. God is not used to be saying, hey, God, just wait. You know, just kind of wait for me. I'll be there. God, I know you're telling me to pray, but after all, I got to go fishing. Or I got a water line and I got Irv underneath my trailer working on it. 4 hours worth for what we thought was just a valve. We, at times, are just holding God off, saying, not yet, Father. Wait till I'm 80, wait till I'm 90, wait till I don't have anything else to do, then I'll serve you the way you want me to. Sometimes if you want to reach 80 or 90, you better serve.
That's right, amen.
You see, we miss something, and I'm when we do not demonstrate to Eric, hi buddy, this is my buddy, we had lunch together, didn't we, yesterday? You don't have to be scared. Do you realize that God is going to do more through Eric than he did through me? Do you realize that the Bible says our descendants are going to be walking in the glory of God, and I believe it's going to be way beyond what we are today? Do we realize that God is reaching into the children's life and developing in their lives a love for him, even though, you know, you don't even think that they would even be aware of it. But there's changes coming, and that's why I want the kids up here. That's why I want them praying, because they're going to take what we have and that what we have diluted down, and they're going to not dilute it. They're just going to go out and say, God, you can do it.
Amen.
It's true. Let me show you. Now I got to find it. Isaiah 44. Verse 1. Yet now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen, thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, whoever that is, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants, and my blessings on your offspring. How about taking that? How about taking hold of that and saying, God, You're going to pour your Spirit on my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, my great-great-great-grandchildren. You're going to pour your Spirit, and then you're going to bless them as my offspring. Can you believe that? Amen. You know what happens? We see our kids right now. We look at them right now. Oh, they're just kids. Give Eric a cowboy hat and a wooden horse, and he's marching around the farm. You know those wooden horses? You got to crank them to get them started? No. And that's what we see. God sees a warrior.
Amen.
God sees a man of God. God sees young people moving and ministering and anointed. And they're going to do a mighty work. He says, I will pour out my Spirit, and your young men and your young women shall prophesy.
Amen.
Your old men will dream dreams. How about taking hold of that when your kids are acting up? How about taking hold of that when you say, I don't know if these kids are ever going to amount to anything. Why don't you ask God what they're going to amount to?
That's right. Amen.
Really true. We come to a place, and that's the difference, seeing today and having a vision. We see today. Let me ask you something. How many of us has had God, just show me a vision of my kids? Just show me what they're going to be doing. How about praying over them? Prophesying this scripture to them. My descendants are going to be anointed, and they're going to be blessed, and they're going to win mighty battles, and they're going to fight, and they're going to win. They're not going to lose. It's amazing. It's amazing. Isaiah 54. This is for you who think you've been barren, who can't see any fruit, who look at things and say, well, nothing's ever happening in my life. I've just been a pain in the behind to everything I pick up to do. Sing, O barren. If you look at yourself in the mirror, and you're telling yourself, I have no purpose, I'm useless, I haven't done anything for God, why would God want me? God says, sing. Okay, come sing with me. We'll sing something. We'll start in B flat. Kirk will give you a B and I'll flatten it out. Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtain of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your stakes and lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. Now, don't miss this. And your descendants will inherit the nation and make the desolate cities inhabited. Sing, O barren. For your descendants are going to inherit the nations of the world. And make the desolate cities inhabited. I was up in Toronto at the airport church. And after I left, Heidi Baker was coming. Anybody know who Heidi Baker is? I believe Heidi Baker is in Mozambique. But Randy Clark had a word for her. And the word was this: ask God and he'll give you the country of Mozambique. Ask God and he'll give you the whole country. And that you're going to see blind eyes open, you're going to see the deaf hear, you're going to see leprosy cleansed, you're going to see healings. Heidi Baker went back to Mozambique for 2 years, I believe it was, without seeing nothing. Nothing. Then a blind lady came, the blind lady was healed. Others came, they were healed, lepers were cleansed. That country's hers. So don't think when God says, I'm going to give you the nations, that he can't do it.
That's right. Amen.
Don't think when God speaks to your heart and says, I'm going to do this through you, don't suddenly think, well, how am I going to do it? He didn't ask you to do it. He wants to do it through his Spirit and manifest to this city and this state and the regions around us that there is a God in heaven who knows all things, has all power, has all authority, and nothing the devil has ever done has disturbed him.
That's right.
How many times have you been told, well, if I give a testimony, then the devil's going to try to get to do something to me. So I'm not going to testify. I'm not going to say what God's doing, because after all, the devil's going to get me. No, he's already got you if you're thinking that way.
That's right.
Tramp on the sucker.
Amen.
And how do I tramp on him? I trample on him through glorifying Jesus.
Amen.
Our kids are going to rule the nations. They're going to make the desolate cities inhabited. I want to tell you something. I don't know how much time is left. I'm not talking about this service. I'm talking about for this world. I know one thing. There's 1,000 years left of the reign of Jesus Christ, so it's not popping tomorrow. But I don't know when the trumpet's going to sound, and neither do you. But it will sound. But the thing is, not to sit in your recliner waiting for the trumpet.
That's right.
You'll miss it. Because you're not watching for Jesus and you're not working for Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And God is interested in us taking the talents that he's given us through the Holy Spirit and producing. But I do know this, that God's word is true. And one day it's going to happen. But what bothers me, I'm just sure. I hear people talking about the rapture of the church and doing nothing about it. You say, well, what can we do? You're going to reach people.
That's right, amen.
You're going to see people healed. You're going to see salvation. You're going to see compassion. You're going to see mercy. You're going to see the grace of God. You're going to see all the things that God wants to do. If we really believe that Jesus is coming at any minute, we should be out there.
Yes.
Right now.
That's right.
I love the way you're shouting. But is it right? I shouldn't be spending my time watching television. I'm not saying little television hurts anybody. I'm just saying I need to give my life to the cause. I need to focus on the Christ. I need to focus on that neighbor of mine who's going to hell without Jesus. Oh, I'm just too tired. What have you done? Well, nothing. God is real. God is real. Okay. So what do I do? How do I live this rest of this life? Number one, the Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Our agenda has to change. Because the body of Christ is just as negative as the world. And something has to change. We can find a problem in every solution. We can find situations that aren't going to happen, but we think they're going to happen because we feel it. And God is telling us, well, turn there, 2 Peter chapter 3. I just want to close with this. Second Peter chapter 3. I just want to take one verse. Yeah. Let's take 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Be careful you don't fall away. But I want to tell you how not to fall away. Grow in grace. How many of you have been saved by grace? Maybe a better question. How many of you are saved? You want to tell me how you got it? So you met Jesus because of his grace. Now, all this stuff I've told you is amazing. I mean, and I left a lot of stuff out. But we have been saved by God's mercy, his grace, his love, and putting faith in that. So what Peter is telling us in a roundabout way is that you and I need to live in the same grace that Jesus gave us. Grow in that grace. Look at me. Honor one another. Yes. Respect one another. Yes. Encourage one another. Your spouse is your brother and sister in Christ before they're your spouse. Uh-huh. Treat them like you treat other people in the church. Boy, I love the way you're shouting.
Right.
Treat them the way Jesus would. Put aside all the differences that you have with other people. Walk up to the unsaved person and show them honor and respect and dignity. No condemnation, even if they are dirty and stinky and smelly. Well, if they're stinky, they're smelly. Okay. How many were here when somebody came in with fuel oil all over them or diesel fuel? Yeah. We didn't kick them out. Talk to them. Love them. We get so used to our comfort zone, we forget the spiritual zone that God wants us to live in. I think Kirk told me, and I was reading it this week too in James, that if the rich come in and we put them in the front row and the poor come in and we put them in the back or tell them not to come in, we dishonor the poor.
That's right.
If somebody comes in and we like them less than somebody else, we dishonor them at times. But grow in grace. Would you have told the leper to come? Would you have touched him? Grow in God's grace. Listen, just live your life as if Jesus is walking beside you every step you take. Because he really is. He's in here through the Holy Spirit. We don't need the meltdowns. Because something happened to us. We need to be strong in Jesus. And yeah, have I been hurt? Almost every day. You think of something, boy, I wish I would have done this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I wish I wouldn't have said that. But you know, God is saying, just live your life as I would live it through you. Simple way to do it. Beautiful way to do it. Don't be a respecter of persons. And then grow in the knowledge. Very interesting. I do not know how many years Paul had been a Christian before he wrote the book of Philippians. He says, I'm now ready to be offered as a drink offering in chapter 2. In chapter 3, he says this. He says, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death. Everybody wants to know. We want to know him in his power. Amazing power. I believe Paul is saying, Jesus, I want... And Paul knew about the suffering, didn't he? Read chapter 11 if you think he doesn't. I kind of believe that Paul is saying, God, I just want to know why. Paul knew about grace. Paul knew about mercy. Paul knew about compassion. But he's coming to a place in that way of knowledge. God, I just want to know you. And why did you go through this for me? And Paul's looking at his life and saying, I was the chiefest of sinners. Because I persecuted the church. But get to know him. Not about him. Get to know him. Get real personal with Jesus. Because he loves you more than anything in this world. And again, if you ever have doubt about God loving you, go kneel at a cross and tell God he doesn't love you. You can't do that because that cross speaks of God's love. So let's make a choice together. My battery dead? Let's make a choice together that we are going to partner with Jesus Christ and whatever he wants to do in this building, spiritually, we're going for it. Whatever he wants to do in my life, I'm going for it. I'm not going to allow the devil to get me distracted with all kinds of other issues. I'm focused. You're a child of God. You're led by the Spirit of God. You have so much ability through Christ. There's no one that can stop you from pursuing God but you. And a great way to do it is just get focused on your issues. Just give the issues to God. Walk in faith. We okay?
Yes, sir.